From the newsroom of PCJ Radio International, this is Focus Asia Pacific. I'm Keith Parent. In a Cambodian hospital, a group of terrified new mothers nurse tiny babies under the watchful eye of police. They're surrogates, desperately poor women, promised $10,000 to bear children for parents in China. But they were arrested under new anti-trafficking rules and now face an agonizing choice. Either they agree to keep their children they don't want or can't easily afford to bring up, children who are genetically theirs, or they honor their surrogacy contracts and face up to 20 years in jail. Tim Wellwell reports on the suffering as the country after country in Asia cracks down on commercial surrogacy and asks whether the detained mothers are criminals or victims.
So here's empty, this very, very shiny Queen reception hall here. Two staff here in white coats. There's somebody coming down. This is the main staircase in a black T-shirt. Hi, I'm a journalist. I just wanted to ask the ladies who are surrogate mothers, is it possible for us to meet them?
You cannot.
We can't?
Yes.
You work for the police?
Yes.
So you're looking after them, you're guarding them?
Yes, you got.
Those young women, all desperately poor, were arrested for something that few people in Cambodia had even heard of till recently.
Our culture, our religion, we never have this thing to be pregnant for someone else.
Now, surrogacy has been outlawed with the heaviest of penalties. The arrested women and their families are facing a terrible choice.
I feel sorry for the people who want the baby. They spend a lot of money for having that baby. But if I say that I want to give the baby to them, then my daughter-in-law will be facing 15 to 30 years in jail.
How did they end up in that situation? And what decision will they make? We go upstairs? Yes, so we take our shoes off. So it's a traditional house here on stilts, and we have to go up the ladder to get to it.
Yeah. Have to get the shoe off. It's
a beautiful crescent moon just come out.
Can you bring the chocolates?
Yeah, I got them. House actually with corrugated iron walls and bamboo floor, a steeply pitched roof. There's a lot of people watching us, all sitting on a cart, men with bare torsos and sarongs. Just inside the doorway was a young man, probably in his late 20s. He's sitting with his legs crossed on the bamboo floor, wearing an old blue football shirt and shorts. He's got a broad face, close-cropped hair, a little moustache. He's friendly, but quite shy. As you'll hear, he laughs a lot. But it's an apologetic, embarrassed kind of laugh. Like most people in this story, he doesn't want to give his real name. I'll call him Sok. That's a common name here. This is my Cambodian colleague, Siniat Yon. She's translating.
So this is the two kids.
Right.
So two daughters.
Two daughters, two little girls. The older one is six. And this one, she's two. They're very, very beautiful children, yeah? The younger one has planted herself very firmly in her daddy's lap.
She's crying every day. She's asking where is her mother.
Yeah. So they haven't seen their mother for how many months?
It's more than 5 months already that these two girls never see their mother. After my wife left to Phnom Penh, she never came home. And she only told me by phone that she got arrested by district authorities.
So just explain how it all started. When you first heard about this thing, about surrogacy, what did you think? Did it seem strange to you?
It's quite strange about surrogacy because we never heard of this. It's never happened in Cambodia before. I think that idea is came from Thailand.
Suddenly, one day, Sok's wife came to him and said she'd been offered $10,000 by a surrogacy agency to carry someone else's baby in her womb. $10,000. That was a huge sum for them. Sok's a fisherman. He fishes in the Mekong River that runs past the village. Usually, he earns just a few dollars a day. If his wife helped with a pregnancy, that's the phrase in Cambodian, they might escape having to spend their whole lives in this one-room shack. And it is really bare and dim. There's a single light bulb swinging from the rafters. I can't see any bathroom or kitchen. And they say 16 people sleep here.
From the beginnings, my wife explained me that she wanted to make some money to build a new house.
But there was a problem, which was that commercial surrogacy has been banned in Cambodia since 2016.
When she told me that she had the idea to provide a surrogate, I said, be careful that you may having problems or trouble with this situation, because my relative told me it's about the ban, so that's why I tell my wife to not do that.
But his wife tricked him. She said, okay, I'll give up the surrogacy idea. I've got to earn more money somehow, but I'll get a job as a maid in the big city instead. So she went off to Phnom Penh, the capital. And then she went ahead with her original plan.
After she decided to put the egg, she told me afterward that she already agreed to do the surrogate.
After she already what?
After she already put the egg, yeah.
Oh, really? So that happened and you didn't even know? Soon after that, she called again. She said she hadn't come home because the agency was forcing all the surrogates to stay together in a rented villa. It said it had to look after them while they were pregnant. But now they'd been busted by the police. She'd been arrested, charged with human trafficking, along with 31 other women and 5 workers from the agency. The story was already all over the news. Before long, the guys who drink rice wine all evening on the cart underneath Sok's house knew all about it. Everyone did.
I tried to escape. I tried to walk away because I feel shy, because a lot of people in the whole country see this. They see her face, so people in the village recognize her.
Now the women are under guard in a hospital, but one that belongs to the police. Some of them have already given birth, but Sok's wife is still waiting. Phnom Penh's so far away that Sok's only been able to visit her once. Relatives, unlike journalists, are allowed to visit the women, but only at very limited times. So I'm now with a woman I'm going to call Sri On. We're in a tuk-tuk, a kind of motorised rickshaw, and she's going to the hospital to see her daughter-in-law, who is a surrogate, one of the ones who were arrested, and who's already given birth, 2 months ago, to a baby boy. Sreon's taking nappies and fruit and powdered milk. She says the mothers aren't fed well enough to be able to breastfeed, and she's also taking something for the guards.
The guard is very strict and always keep watching them, and as well as any time we go there, it's quite difficult to see my daughter-in-law, and I have to give them some money.
So basically, you have to pay the guards bribes in order for them to be nice to your daughter-in-law.
Yeah, we have to give them bribes, the money, and then that we make it easier for us, and they can call my daughter-in-law to come and see me.
She says she even had to bribe them so that they didn't chain her daughter-in-law to the bed during labour, like they did with some of the other women.
I cry every day when I think about my daughter-in-law. Even now, she's detained in the hospital. It's already very, very difficult for us. If she goes to the prison, it brings us more and more trouble in the daily life.
But why has Cambodia cracked down now on surrogacy? And why do the authorities regard it as a form of human trafficking? I'm with Her Excellency Chu Bon Eng, yes, who is the Deputy Interior Minister of Cambodia and the Permanent Vice Chair of the Anti-Human Trafficking Committee.
Yeah, thank you so much. I can say that surrogacy in Cambodia is very new problem. It just occurred in Cambodia since 2016.
Chu Bon Eng is an elegant, forceful woman. She's taken a deep personal interest in the arrested women. She says that the commercial surrogacy business came to Cambodia because it was driven out of other South Asian countries. It was banned in India, then in Thailand. And she says wherever it goes, children are the victims. Why do you regard it as a form of human trafficking?
Because those children, they negotiate the price in the womb. And they don't care about the children anymore because the children is like the goods. And sometimes, you know, if the children is handicapped, the price is decreased. Give him or her away, and later on, no anyone, you know, responsible for them. Sometimes, you know, the children will be sold again, you know, to someone else.
The parents, the biological parents, the people who arranged the surrogacy, they've paid a very large amount of money. They desperately want a child. Why would they sell it again?
We did ask a question to those women. They said that they do not know the face of someone who wanted the baby. They know only the team.
The team?
Yeah.
Oh, they know only the agency. They don't know the actual parents.
Yes. We do not know yet who is the owner of the sperm, who is the one who wanted the baby and for what.
There are a few places in the world, California and some other US states, and Ukraine and Georgia in the former Soviet Union, for example, which allow and regulate commercial surrogacy. That surrogacy where the birth mother is paid a fee over and above the expenses that she incurs in pregnancy. In those places, there are legal safeguards which aim to protect the rights of everyone involved, the surrogate, the intended parents, and the children. But in Cambodia, before the ban, there was no such regulation, so it was risky for all concerned. But it was cheap, a bargain basement destination for would-be parents. Surrogates, often illiterate women who would otherwise be earning rock-bottom wages in garment factories, could easily be exploited. Cambodia could have gone down the road of greater regulation. Instead, it went for a ban, because the government rejects the whole idea that a birth mother may not be the real mother.
In our law, the one who is pregnant, the baby in the womb, is her own child. The
embryo.
Embryo. Cannot develop outside of the womb. In the womb, you know, the woman take care, feed them by their own blood.
They share the same blood system.
Yes.
So even though, just to underline that, even though the embryo, the fertilised embryo, belongs to two other parents and is simply implanted in the surrogate mother, you say even so that the child belongs to the surrogate mother.
Because, you know, women take care of them and feed them, you know, more than 9 months. And then the embryo become the human. So how? How to give the children to someone else?
How to give the children to someone else? I wanted to find out what happened in Cambodia before the ban. It's a very rural landscape here, so there's a rice field immediately opposite. It's a very muddy track here. It's been raining this morning. Washing hung from poles by the side of the road. This is a village outside Phnom Penh where one former surrogate has agreed to talk to me.
Hi, here's Bhavna Simon.
This is her and this is her daughters.
So, there's quite a young woman here in a bright blue T-shirt. She's sitting on a plank in front of just a house made of tin, sheets of metal. This is Wate and her first child, who's now four. Wate gave birth to another child a year ago, but she had to give him up after just a few days to the American gay couple who'd hired her. They came to Cambodia for the birth, but legally she couldn't hand him over here. She had to get him a passport, as though he were her own son, and then they all had to travel abroad together to Singapore. But she could tell the Americans didn't trust her.
I only have chain to carry the baby when we go to make the passport. And the couple doesn't want me to carry the baby at all, but I asked the tuk-tuk driver to translate that, no worry, I won't take a baby away.
At the passport office, it was quite awkward. She had to cover the baby's face so the officials wouldn't notice that it had completely non-Cambodian features. And then, at the airport, things got complicated again.
And I have to carry the baby by myself to take the plane. The gay couple, they don't walk together, only one of them walk with me, pretend like my husband. And they only take the baby when we get into the plane.
They took him, she says, as soon as the plane took off. All this without her ever having been able to talk to them. The agency didn't bother to supply a translator. What was the baby called?
The baby name is very long and difficult to pronounce, and I lay awake one night just because I tried to remember the name of the baby, but luckily at the check-in, they don't ask me the name of the baby. I just remember one lot is Nicola.
Nicholas?
Yeah, Nicholas is boy.
So, let me ask you a very difficult question. For you, how hard was it to hand over the baby? Because you've been carrying him for 9 months.
I really feel sad that I have to give the baby away. I really I don't want to give the baby away, and the baby also cute, and also I have one photograph of the baby, but I make a mistake that I give the photo to the gay couple, so I don't have anything to remember him. It's kind of really emotional, but I leave him some message that you have to stay with them because I could not afford to feed you. And I hope, I wish that you will get better future, you will have bright future, you can have good work in your future life. And also the baby is drinking a lot of powder milk, and I realized that if the baby stay with me, I cannot afford to feed the baby properly.
But do you still now sometimes think about him and wonder what's happening to him?
Yeah, I sometimes also think how the baby grow up, how he's look like, but the parent, they never contact me. Some other mother who carry the pregnancy, she can see how the baby grow up through photo that their son, but for me, nothing, not at all.
Now Chu Boneng, the anti-trafficking minister, believes that by arresting the latest surrogates, she's saved them
from that emotional wrench and saved the children that they were carrying from being sent out into the unknown. And she thinks those mothers will be grateful.
These children, you know, staying in their womb, they breastfeeding, you know, by themselves. Breastfeeding by themselves. I think they love.
You think they love the children, even though they didn't want them?
I think before they say like that. Before, you know, I do not know that those children is my children. But right now, I feel that those children is mine because they are in my womb. And I take care of them every day. Yeah, so I think they love them. And we will follow up. If they do not love, another thing, you know, again them.
The minister insists that the surrogates are being well looked after. She denies that any were chained to their beds. And she's offering them a deal. If you break your contract with the agency and keep the children, love them, you escape going to jail. But those words, if they do not love, of course, it's a threat. Don't cheat, she's saying. If you're released, we'll be watching you carefully to make sure you don't try and hand the child over later on. So what have Sreon and her daughter-in-law decided to do?
I quite like the baby, and even it's not related to us, but I don't mind. He is quite cute. He's like screaming for people to play with him. Yeah, I love him like my grandchild. Now I see the baby 2 months old. It's not possible to give the baby away.
In other words, the family say that they'll keep him. I don't know whether or not to believe her. They have to say that if their daughter-in-law is to avoid possibly 20 years in jail. But an extra mouth to feed would be a big problem for them. And what about the intended parents? The couple who longed for a child and paid to get one. Obviously, they don't want the boy to stay in Cambodia either. Sreon's daughter-in-law did catch one tantalising glimpse of them from the hospital window. Like most of the intended parents in this case, they're a Chinese couple. They travelled all the way to Cambodia after the birth, even though they must have known that the surrogate mother was under arrest. But they weren't allowed to see their son or the woman who'd given birth to him.
The foreigners, especially the Chinese people, cannot go into the hospital. That's why we don't know who the baby belonged to.
No, I understand. But do you ever think about them, those other people? Do you wonder what they're like and why they did it?
I'm not quite sure. I only hear people said the Chinese people, they are busy working, so yeah, they don't have time to have children, so they ask somebody to pregnant for them.
Of course, it's not as simple as that. Demand for surrogacy in China has grown since the ending, nearly 3 years ago, of the country's former one-child policy. Women who wanted more children, but were past normal childbearing age, started looking for foreign surrogates, because surrogacy isn't allowed in China itself. And many hired those surrogates in Cambodia. But what will the intended parents in this case do now? Will they just accept that they've lost what they regard as their children? Will they try to recoup the agency fee, usually about $70,000 for the whole package? Or will they still try, somehow, to get those babies later, when the fuss has died down? That's what Sok, whose wife is still waiting to give birth, thinks will happen.
I wouldn't mind that we keep the baby, but I heard the rumour that they want to get the baby, so it's quite a challenge for us because they spend a lot of money to have this baby. Somehow they will try to get the baby.
Siniet, the translator, has just asked Sok what he'd do if surrogacy wasn't a crime.
He said, I would give the baby away because the parent who want the baby, they spend a lot of money to have the baby. So it's better give the baby to them. It's not belong to us.
But that's no longer an option. And right now, the lads with the rice wine are getting ever more raucous. Sok's daughters are tired, and this is one more night when their mother's not here to put them to bed. The most important thing is to get her home, even with an unexpected extra child. Even if that means that the number of people sleeping in this one room goes up from 16 to 17. What will he say if she comes back with a baby?
I'm not quite sure yet. I think maybe I tell them that this is your brother.
Sống cùng dùm ấy, con ơi, cùng dùm.
Sok will make the best of things. He has to. But surrogacy has still not been stamped out in Cambodia. In the last few weeks, another group of women has been arrested. Meanwhile, many of the agencies that used to operate here have simply decamped over the border to Laos, an even poorer country where there's still no law on surrogacy. The chances are this story will just be repeated there.
And that's all we have time for in this edition of Focus Asia Pacific from PCJ Radio International. If you wish to let us know what you think of the program, our email address is pcjmedia@gmail.com. On behalf of the whole team, I'm Keith Powell, wishing you well, saying so long and take care. We'll see you again very soon. Bye-bye.